We take up item 7, Executive Officer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of items that I want to bring your attention to. One is, I am sure you have all read by now that there has been a tentative Klamath settlement, and the documents, I can send you the link. They're also available on the Department of Interior website, which has the complete detail of what's in the settlement. It's a chunky 333-page document. There are some elements in there that are worth noting that do relate to the work that we do.
Kat, to that, what's next? I mean, it's when you have a settlement document, is it the final and that's it, or it's just
my understanding
beginning?
Is that the parties reached tentative agreement, and that the next step is that the tribes and the counties, their negotiators can't speak for those public bodies, if you will, and so the settlement agreement will have to go before those public bodies. So I believe like Humboldt County Soups, Siskiyou, as well as the tribal councils will have to hear and ratify the settlement. So there will be some public process that will be initiated in order for those public bodies to hear and make their determination if they're going to sign on or not to the settlement. So that's the next step for the next month and a half.
And does it kick into the feds or what? I mean, do they have some next step?
Once it's ratified, the process will be fully and officially underway to reach a determination by the Secretary of Interior to make a determination whether or not the dam should come down or not. And I believe that's scheduled for 2012. So by 2012, a couple of pieces have to slot into place. California needs to find quite a bit of money. The feds have to find money. And the Secretary of Interior has to make an affirmative finding. Yeah, then they need legislation. They need federal legislation as well. So there are quite a few pieces that have to be done between now and 2012, which would be the determination on whether the dams come down or stay up.
Mr. Massey.
My understanding is we've never done this on this kind of a scale, or that we've never done this in this kind of a setting. And just the technical aspects, there's got to be some pretty icky stuff behind those dams that's been there for a long time. Has anybody addressed the concept of how you do this without killing fish and flooding places and et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, there have been some preliminary studies done by the Coastal Conservancy that it took an initial look as to whether or not there were contaminants behind the dams, and also then some modeling work to see what the effect of the sediment release would be on the event of bringing dams down. That work, I am quite sure, will be supplemented by the federal government to see whether or not what kind of contaminants might be there and what the full effect would be of the release of bringing of the sediment discharge for bringing the dams down. So I think that's very much what the federal team is going to have to deal with in developing a NEPA document to support the Secretary of Interior's decision.
There have also been a few of the last couple of years decommissionings, actual dams taken down and sediment waves moving downstream, and so there's some physical basis from which they can.
I think there's one up in southwestern Washington, a couple in the northeastern corridor, but I don't think they're anywhere near these. I mean, I know
Pacific Northwest, the ones that I'm aware of.
Those are fairly small. I mean, they're check dams. They're not
a little bigger. No, they're bigger than that.
Are they?
Yeah.
Not okay.
There have been a couple of fairly large dams about the same size that we're looking at that have come down in the Northwest, but none at this scale of 4 being contemplated. Next item, there's been quite a bit of controversy around a cleanup site in Eureka called the Balloon Track. Just wanted to flag those of you to the north have been probably following this in the paper rather avidly. There was a meeting last night on the that was sponsored by the city of Eureka that two of our staff attended, and seems as though it went well. The time standard for this morning said, starts out with, members of the public voiced their concerns about the initial cleanup efforts of the proposed site of the Marina Center Wednesday night, pressing state officials, that's your staff, about how much testing had been done and what exactly the cleanup process would entail. At the workshop held at the Werfinger building located across from the balloon track, the public got its answer. So I take it that the meeting went well yesterday and that the next step in this process for the balloon track cleanup is going to be the city of Eureka determining what kind of land use is going to occur at that cleanup site. And then that will set in motion both our permitting, Coastal Commission permitting, city of Eureka permitting. But that it went well. This 2 weeks ago, signed both the Salmon and Scott U.S. Forest Service Memorandums of Agreement. That's a big check. Tam mentioned that there will be, at their board meeting at the State Board next week, updates on the wetland program. So if any of you want to listen in on that, that will be on the webcast, as well as an update on where they are with the underground storage tank revision program revision process. There are, this last week, or was it week before, I lose track of time, there were more blue-green algae postings, this time again in Sonoma County at Riverfront Park. And I wanted to flag to you in your package, because just in case you ran out of energy reading, that
oh, no.
One is there's a nice summary by John that John Short prepared on the construction stormwater permit, but what I wanted to flag to you was that I had printed out from the State Board website, and I can see it, trouble printing it, but what it is the first annual Water Board report on performance. And I just had printed out the first section because the whole thing's about like this, but what it is the targets that we've been working on with the State Board for performance and each of the regional board and each of the regional board's performance all set into context. So I would urge you, the website is here. In the report, you might want to click on that and kind of page through it. It kind of shows where we stand in performance with regard to the other regional boards. That's on page. It's really much easier to see this on the website than it is when you print it. It kind of, Terry tried to work to make it fit on the page, but as you can see, it didn't work so well. But I'd urge you to take a look at it.
These numbers that appear for Region 1, are they ones that we gave them and therefore we like them and we agree with them, or these are
This a work in process that we have to sort of bite our lip on. It's a combination. It's mostly information that's pulled out of databases, and our track record with databases as a big organization, our databases are kind of clunky, generally don't work so well. And then, of course, staff resist entering data into them, and it's sort of a twin management problem. So these numbers are, I think they're close enough to tell a story. They raise a lot of questions, I think, both about in terms of performance as well as about are these the right performance measures, as well as are we looking at the right things. And I'd urge you to take a look at it because I think this probably will be one of the things that will be discussed at the WQCC. And the idea of this is a work in progress. These aren't the perfect set of indicators. The numbers aren't perfect, but it's at least a start, and we can only make it better from here. I hope. And then the very last item is that our response to CAL FIRE and the Farm Bureau's petition on the non-industrial timber permit, we will be filing our response with them on the 9th of October. So we're working on that as well. But we probably shouldn't talk about that except in closed session.
All right.
That's my list. Thank you.
Any questions of the EO? We should institute House of Commons type questions. All right. With that, request for future agenda items. Mr. Norn.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to request two items. One would be an update on the dairy permit or waiver. It's been a while since we've heard something on that. I think it's important probably to know where that thing's at least up north and here as the TMDL for the Laguna gets going. I'd like to have some type of update that in the future. The second item would be an update on how our staff is complying with the resolution on the UST cleanup fund issue that Tam was speaking about this morning with respect to action items, both review of sites, criteria for low-risk closure, some of those types of things that we're working on our side.
And just to clarify, Mr. Noren, I assume you're talking about our effort in addition to what the State Board has asked us to do, our effort to try to get at the issue of risk-based closure on our own.
Correct, because I think that in my mind, the way that I look at that resolution is the State Board's natural question is how many sites do you have that you are in process and how many can you close, and if you can't close them, why can't you close them? And it leads you down a path of 9249 and all those other nice resolutions for anti-degradation and high-quality maintenance, and you start to back away from that, and that's a pretty slippery slope. So I would like to think that we could get ahead of that or at least know where we're at and how we could maybe work within that system as it progresses.
Any other items? Well, then we do have WQCC this month, October 26th, 27th, Sacramento. And our next meeting, we're set for a one-day meeting, December 10th, here in Santa Rosa. And that's the end of it.
We do have the next regional meeting just following the WQCC, right?
No.
That to clarify, the October 28th, 29th have been canceled. And we'll pick those issues up again in March, plan on March 3rd and 4th.
Must have missed that.
Yep.
So we'll move the Halloween party to the WQCC.
Thank you all. Bye, Heidi.